There is a saying, isn't there? Never work with children and animals. Can I add to that? Nor octogenarians plus. We discussed at house group the possibility of taking this morning's service. And we talked about who might do what. Nobody wanted to do anything. There's a surprise. And then Betty, God bless her, said, "I'll choose a reading, love, and I'll read it." Yes, result. I've got somebody to do something. So she went away to choose a reading. Now, I thought I knew Betty pretty well. And I thought we'd get something nice-ish or reasonably easy to preach on. So when she rang me up and she said, "I've got a reading for you," she said. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. You know, the prayer of Jabez. And I stood there, thunderstruck in my kitchen, thinking, who on earth is Jabez? Well, anyway, I worried about it for a while. We put the service together, and I had this idea of asking Irene if she would do the intercessory prayers. A few days later, I get an email from Jeff that says, "Can you tell me what the theme is for the morning, please?" And I was going to call it prayer. But something prompted me to tell Jeff that the reading was what it is. And I got an email back telling me that when he was 16, a few years ago, he heard someone preach on this text. And it had stuck with him. This person had got a 5-point plan. My apologies to Jeff, I'm not using the 5-point plan this morning. And he'd also got a little book about the prayer of Jabez. "I'll let you have it," he said. And to my surprise, a few days later, just as I was about to have my lunch, there was a ring on my doorbell. Jeff Foster, standing the other side of my front door, actually come to bring me the book. It's a lovely little book. And I looked at it. I don't read very quickly, I'm afraid. And I thought, I've only got a few days. Oh dear, there's 92 pages in that book. I'm never going to be able to get through that. What am I going to do? Anyway, I opened this book. And it's absolutely fascinating reading. Once I'd opened it and started, I couldn't put it down. It was really, really good reading. It explains a lot about Jabez. All we know about him is what Betty read, which is not much, is it? He was an honourable man, apparently. Anyway, I've done a lot of research on this. And I found out that the first book of Chronicles lists the family trees of the Hebrew tribes. And there are 500 names on this list. And in chapter 4, we find a list of the descendants of Judah. And there are 44 names on this list with no comment whatsoever about them. But then we come to Jabez. And we're told that his mother named him Jabez, which means pain. Now, we don't know why she named him pain. Could have been she had a bad pregnancy, could have had an abusive marriage, it could have just been a very difficult birth. But this poor little baby is named pain. Now, often, we say, well, I've actually heard my daughter-in-law say to my grandchildren, "Oh, you're a pain. But they're not called that, actually. It's just a comment on who they are at that moment. Can you imagine trying to live your life with a name that means pain? Or he will cause pain. It's not a very auspicious start, is it? But anyway, Jabez was an honourable man. Didn't like his name much, but he found a way out. He grew up learning about the God of Israel and how he had freed their forefathers from slavery, and he'd rescued them from powerful enemies. He learned all that as he grew up, and he'd given them a land of plenty to live in. Jabez believed in this kind of God. He believed in a God of miracles and new beginnings. And so he asked for one. He said to God, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." Now, we all ask God to bless us, don't we? In various ways. Bless me for this and bless me for that. Bless those who are not very well and all this sort of thing. But Jabez was asking for a big blessing. He wanted a bigger and a better life. Do we limit God by what we ask him for, I wonder? What are we really asking for when we ask God to bless us? And are we asking just for ourselves? Or are we asking for the wonderful and unlimited goodness that only comes from God, that only he can give us? Jabez's request left God to decide what blessings he would receive, when and where. Jabez trusted God to bless him. Do we ask God to bless us for the things that we want? Or do we ask God to bless us for the things that God wants for us? When we ask for blessing, we ask God, we put ourselves in God's powerful hands for his will and his purpose. And if we sincerely seek God's blessing as we live our lives, we will do great things for God. In this little book, I found a story which illustrates what I'm saying, or trying to say. It's just a story, really. And it says, "What if you found out that God had it in mind to send you 23 specific blessings today, but you got only one? What do you suppose the reason would be?" And then there's this little story, a fable about a Mr. Jones who dies and goes to heaven. Peter is waiting at the gates to give him a tour. Amid the splendour of the golden streets, beautiful mansions and choirs of angels that Peter shows him, Mr. Jones notices an odd-looking building. He thinks it looks like an enormous warehouse. It has no windows and only one door. But when he asks to see inside, Peter hesitates. "You really don't want to see what's in there," he tells the new arrival. "Why? Would there be any secrets in heaven?" Jones wonders. "What incredible surprise could be waiting for me in there?" When the official tour is over, he's still wondering, so he asks again to see inside the structure. Finally, Peter relents. When the apostle opens the door, Mr. Jones almost knocks him over in his haste to enter. It turns out the enormous building is filled with row after row of shelves, floor to ceiling, each stacked neatly with white boxes tied in red ribbons. "These boxes all have names on them," Mr. Jones muses aloud. Then turning to Peter, he asks, "Do I have one?" "Yes, you do, Peter," You do. Peter tries to guide Mr. Jones back outside. Frankly, Peter says, if I were you, but Mr. Jones is already dashing towards the J aisle to find his box. Peter follows, shaking his head. He catches up with Mr. Jones just as he's slipping the red ribbon off his box and popping the lid. Looking inside, Mr. Jones has a moment of instant recognition and he lets out a deep sigh like the ones Peter has heard so many times before. Because there, in Mr. Jones's white box, are all the blessings that God wanted to give him while he was on earth. But Mr. Jones had never asked. Ask, promised Jesus, and it will be given to you. So we must ask. And Jabez asked. Jabez asked to be blessed indeed. And then he went on to say, oh, that you would enlarge my territory. Now, when I first read that, I thought, it's a bit greedy that, isn't it? Wanting more stuff. But when you think about it, and when you analyse it, Jabez didn't want it just for his benefit. He wanted his territory enlarging so that he could influence people for God. Do we want our territory enlarging so we can influence people for God, so we can tell more people about God? Jabez wasn't being greedy. Jabez wanted to do things for God's glory, to give back to God for all that God gave to him. How often do we have opportunities outside of the sphere we work in to speak for God? I do a lot of things with people here who already know God. And 2 years ago, I joined a group, Slimming World, of people who do not go to church in the main. I've made friends with several people there who don't know God. One lady has a son who's not very well, and I've offered to pray, and her response is, he's my responsibility, I'll pray for him myself, but I've lost my faith. But nevertheless, what she doesn't know is that I still pray for her son. There's another lady there whose husband was seriously ill last year. He died in August, and I did send her a message saying, can I pray for you and Brian? The message I got back from that lady was, we're not particularly religious, but every little helps. A little bit more encouraging than no, thank you. And this week, another friend of mine there was telling me that she's had a particularly difficult week last week. And I texted her and said, can I pray for you and your family this week? And I got a message back in capital letters that said, yes, please. So, if you like, God has enlarged my territory from here to there. I've got an enlarged territory within the family, of course, as well, particularly with grandchildren. But we all have an opportunity to speak for God, and God will enlarge our territory. He will give us opportunities if we ask him to do that. And even if we're already too busy, can you ever be too busy to serve God, I ask you today. And then Jabez goes on to say, oh, that your hand would be with me. Excuse me. The hand of God. Seen in New Testament times as the Holy Spirit, they say that the hand of God was with them. And I'm going to ask you this. Have you ever stepped out in faith for God and then thought, I can't do this? I know full well that I have many times. I can't do this. In fact, when I read this reading, I thought, I can't do this. And I'm not sure I still can, but there you go. You get an overwhelming feeling of insecurity. And many others have faced this as well. I'm not the only one. And that's when you realise that you can't do it without God. That's when, as I've said a lot of times, you put your hand out and you say to God, I can't do this. Please help me. And he holds onto your hand and he guides you to the place he wants you to be. Think about, just for a minute, how stepping out in faith, knowing you can't do it, knowing that possibly you're destined to failure, how that goes against everything that makes sense. It isn't common sense to put yourself in the firing line, is it? It contradicts everything that you've come to know or expect. And it has no regard for the way you feel, or the training you've had, or your need for security. You set out on this course and you can fail. And that's the time that God works. You depend on God and God brings the plan together. God makes heroes of people, ordinary people, who depend on him, who look to him for their next move, for the next thing that they're going to say, for the next thing that they're going to do. And that's what Jabez was asking for. There's another story in that book as well. I was going to read it to you, but I'm not going to. It's about a family who, it's a husband and wife who had a little boy. And they went to the play park one day, and there were some slides there, and they started off small, went up in four stages, bigger and bigger. The little boy went up and down the first slide. Great, did that several times. Went up the second slide, no problem. The third slide was quite a lot bigger. And this little boy went up the ladder so far and then thought, not sure I can do this. The people behind him who went up, and he saw that it was all right. So he went up as well and went down the slide. And then he came to the big slide. Huge thing, apparently. Pardon me. And he climbed halfway up the ladder and then froze. Couldn't go up or down. Dad's sitting on the bench with Mum, watching. Mum says, go and get him down. Dad says, no, let's just wait a few minutes and see what happens. A few minutes later, the little boy shouts, Dad, I can't do this. Can you help me? And Dad goes up the ladder. Little boy puts his arms around Dad's neck. Dad takes him to the top of the ladder and they come down safely together. And that's what God does. Oh, that your hand would be with me and protect me. God is there. God is listening. God does not leave you on your own, but he waits until you call and ask for help. We have a very polite God. God does not barge in uninvited. He comes to rescue us when we ask. And as we come towards the end of that prayer, Jabez prays, "Oh, that you would keep me from evil." Jabez wanted to live free from the bondage of evil because God had shown him something so much better. Jabez wanted to do good. He wanted to stay away from temptation wherever possible. And that would be God's advice to us. Stay away from temptation wherever possible. Don't live in fear of defeat. And God's power will keep you safe. And he will bless you. Do you believe that a supernatural God is going to keep you from evil and protect you? Protect your spirit. Jabez believed that, and he acted on his belief. His life was spared from grief and pain that evil brings. It reads, that's what Betty read to us, wasn't it, at the end of verse 10. And God granted his request. God is amazing, absolutely amazing. And we read in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, these words. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code and its regulations, that the war against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. God has defeated sin. He will keep us safe. He will bless us above and beyond anything we can imagine. An amazing declaration of victory. Through Christ we can live in triumph, not in temptation or defeat. So I ask you, will you make the prayer of Jabez for blessing a part of your daily life? Be prepared for God to do amazing things through you when you commit to him. He will bless you beyond anything you can imagine. You will find yourself speaking for God in all kinds of situations, and he will give you the words to say. He will fill you with his Holy Spirit and protect you from evil. Walk with God. Ask for his blessing and boldly speak for him. Amen.